This is a Pod Dealers Network podcast.
This week, before we get started, and before I forget, because I so rudely forgot last week, hi, Rhapsody.
What is TWS podcast, episode, whatever, who cares at this point?
The Ransom, the Vindicated.
It's my podcast, and I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still alive?
It's not working for me, Rich. We're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
I'm ready.
I feel like the Neanderthal.
Staring at my watch, and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
Damn.
To my real ones that know this ain't for you. To my enemies, it's still love all day. Everybody's still growing and learning themselves, right? My true star. Y'all. Pondering how to approach. Some of y'all sensitive, but y'all still need to know. Yeah. When the high bunch of sheep can have opinions on the go. We all on the same. All
right, yeah, so I had to start this episode off with a little Rhapsody tribute because I completely flaked on that one last week. I don't want you to think at all, Rhapsody, that I forgot about you and I'm not as serious about you as I say I am. I am 100%, you know, I'm 100% all in on this one. I just want to meet. Let's have a conversation. So, again, hi, Rhapsody, and welcome to the What Is TWS podcast. As always, I'm your boy, J.Dot Flynn, and this is a very, very, very special episode. Not only is this going to be my first real attempt at interviewing someone, but I am interviewing, to me, a legend. I'm interviewing a person I know as fearless leader, Captain My Captain, the CEO of Pod Dealers Network, and one of the creators of a podcast that made me believe that this thing was real and that I could do it. I have with me via Skype the big homie, Jay from Just Say Words. How's it going, man?
Hey, man. With an intro like that, I was looking around waiting for another nigga to walk in.
Hey, man, you know, I try to, you know, make sure people know, you know, what their impact has been on me. You know, I've talked about in the last couple of episodes about just impact and how you don't know how you affect other people's lives. So if I can let somebody know that they've been, you know, that kind of figure to me, and you have definitely been one of those people, I feel like I need to do it. But how's everything going, man? How you feeling?
Everything's been good, man. Work is picking up. We're doing really good things with the network. We're glad to have you back out here in these podcast streets.
Thank you, sir.
And let me see, what else? I mean, yeah, everybody's just kind of making really dope content, and I'm just super proud of, like, what everybody's doing, and I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm definitely glad to be back, and I appreciate you putting up with it's been a long road dealing with me, but I'm on the up and up now. We're about to take this to the next level. So again, this is my first real attempt to interview with somebody. So audience, y'all bear with me. Jay, bear with me.
Okay.
I got a bunch of questions. You know, I listened to a lot of your content today just to make sure I was up on everything, Jay. And then I just got random questions that I would, you know, ask you homie to homie. I feel like one of the things I guess maybe people don't know, like behind the scenes, like the thing I love almost most about this podcasting thing is how, like, from day one when I jumped in it, like, there is a community and, like, podcasters, you know each other and talk to each other. And Jay, you was definitely a person that took it from, like, hey, man, you know, you make dope content. I like your content. Oh, I like your content, too, to, like, man, you doing okay? Are you all right? You know, how can I help? Mm-hmm. What do you need? That kind of thing. And so that's, you know, so I think at this point we have a little bit of a homie relationship. We never met, but, you know, just two content creators, you know, sort of level, we get along. So I got to do what we always do here, What Is TWS, that I haven't done in a long time. And you can opt out if you want to.
Okay.
But if you have a celebrity top five spouses, and we're not talking jump offs, we're not talking about five celebrities that you just try and smash. We're talking five celebrities that something about them you would consider a serious relationship. They got to be like on Rhapsody level.
Okay. All right. So I like I like goofy women, like women who can make me laugh.
All right.
So, Doja Cat. I think I'll give it all up. Ari Lennox.
Okay.
This is really hilarious, and she can sing.
That's Shea Butter Baby, right? That's
yeah.
Dreamville.
Let me see. I feel like Rihanna. Rihanna will give me something, but I know her. She's a woman from the island, so her attitude is gonna make me want to leave. five. I'm trying to think.
No pressure.
I would say Lizzo, but not really. Like, I think I can only take Lizzo on short spurt, so I probably wouldn't do it. Meg Thee Stallion.
Man, okay.
Yeah, Meg Thee Stallion, I would definitely be like, all right, guys, I'm not coming back outside anymore. and let me see, who's my last celebrity spouse? I'm trying to think, man. I don't know. I think I can give you these four because I'm trying to think of who would be the last one where I would be like, you know what? Jeez, I'm out of here. I don't want to talk to anybody else.
All right, meditate on it. We'll come back to it. But yeah. I definitely got to agree with you on, I never knew how to pronounce her name. Ari LaRoe, that what you said? What was it?
Oh, yeah, Ari Lennox, yeah.
Ari Lennox, yeah, I see. I fucked it all the way up. But anyway, yeah, I definitely, her music is dope. She sounds like the kind of person, like, I think the first song of hers I heard was that Backseat of My Ride. I was like, I could see her being the type. All right, dope list. My top five still remains Rhapsody, and Rhapsody. Nobody oh, yeah. Nobody has made any headway on that list. I think my honorable mention is still Tessa Thompson, but she's falling way back to Rhapsody at this point.
Oh, yeah.
All right, man. So I checked out. I'm learning this from not only the list of artists that you gave me when I was looking for a song to play for the rock out at the end of the episode, but then also from your top five celebrity list. Like, I don't know anything about, like, anything happening currently. Like, I barely know who Lizzo is. I think I've seen pictures of Meg Thee Stallion, but that's about it. Don't know anything else about her. So I'm noticing, like, I'm really out of, like, the pop culture. Maybe I'm real disconnected. I don't know if like 45 days in rehab is enough for the world to pass you by, but it's happened. It happened to me. But I did pick up on something that we connect with generationally, and that is that you were a fan of the Ninja Turtles. I listened to the episode with your moms.
My mom told them.
Hey, mom's told on you with the Ninja Turtles. So I got to ask you, did you have the ones that mutated, like they had the shell you could lift up and like tuck the legs in and make it look like a regular turtle?
Yep.
And you had them? Yeah, okay.
All right. Yeah. So, yeah, man. If you was Ninja Turtles, I had the ones from the first movie that was all like silicone and you can move them like real action figures and stuff. It was everything. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. So we do connect on that level because I definitely was a Ninja Turtle fan. And I think those are my favorites. I like I had all of them. The turns that you could turn into turtles and turn them back into mutants. And as I look at it now, I feel like the Ninja Turtles was like, they had to been like the black superhero. Like, they couldn't just make a bunch of all black dudes, but they could make some people who lived in the sewer and didn't have a real father, but just another dude that lived in the gutter with them that taught them karate. I feel like that's like, that happened to every black male I know. And then they turned it into a Ninja Turtle thing. And all of a sudden, we could relate.
No, that's fair. If you are doing the Ninja Turtles as black comparison, then that is absolutely true. I'll ride with that. Mainly because they made Street Sharks, and they purposely made Street Sharks previous white dudes with surfer accents.
They had to flip.
So I was like, okay. I was like, nah, that's fair. Y'all, it's four white dudes who just so happen to turn into sharks. All right.
Yeah, man. But I was definitely feeling the episode with your mom. Sorry for the vape voice. I am still vaping, regardless of what the CDC says. Don't believe the hype. Anyway, I enjoyed the episode with your mom. I think our mothers are kind of similar too. I noticed that you sound like exactly like your mother. Like, I could definitely, that was your mom. Like, you didn't even have to tell anybody that was your mom. Once she started talking, the cadence, the vocal tone, everything, like, you sounded exactly like your mom.
Yeah, that's, I find myself, turning into her more and more. The older I get, the things I care about, the way I perceive the world. I think sometimes, I remember having conversations with her and being like, she's so, like, one way or closed-minded or something. And now I find myself kind of like, oh, the world does this thing and it turns your purview into something else. And so, yeah, I find myself saying things that she used to say to me when I was a kid.
Definitely.
Or kind of believing things. So, yeah, even that, too. I think that's the part, regardless of where I live, that part of Philly, that whole Philly upbringing will always be in me. So that's why I think we sound so alike, too.
Shout out. So is that that's the Philly accent, or is that just...
Nah. From people who listen, who from Philly, will be like, he don't sound like us. So even when I was back up there, people will be like, where you from? And I'm like, here. And they're like, no, you're not. So yeah, there's like the cadence and some stuff. So yeah, I think I get in my accent bag every now and again. But for the most part, of white people constantly being like, what did you say? And I had to fix my speech and go to speech therapy and all type of shit. So this is why you got the voice you got now.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, people have mentioned that there's a DC accent, and I don't know. I don't feel like I don't know if I have an accent or what. I think when I hear people from back home, I definitely recognize it. Like, oh yeah, he's from DC. I got a person that works with me now that's like from Maryland, and I can hear him talking from across the room, and it's like I'm back home. But I don't hear it in myself. I don't know if I missed it or I just can't hear it because it's me.
No, it's still in there. You got it.
All right. So I got a little bit of the area in me. That's what's up. So I also heard that your mom talked about something I talked about on the show, and that's like the whole like idea of community ass whoopings. Like, it takes a village to raise a child, and you know, and you might get whooped at school, and then you know, you're coming home and you're gonna get a whooping, and you might get a whooping from so and so down the street because they heard about it. Do you have any stories of like epic community ass whoopings, or did your mom kind of cut that after the whole don't tell my child to shut up thing?
So that don't tell my child to shut up shit happened when I was older. Before, she was all about community ass whoopings when I was growing up. Yeah, if you watch me or you was babysitting, you had free reign to put your hands on me. So that, and much like Eddie Murphy in Harlem Nights, I still owe a few people an ass whooping. So here's the thing. This lady, her name was Miss Mary. She used to babysit us. She had this really big house in Philly, and she used to babysit like 25 kids.
Damn.
The thing about it is, when you get out of line, she could spank you and shit. And I ain't really was with that. And on top of that, too, the thing I realized about parents or older people, too, they don't do no investigation. They just, whoever's crying and who's ever in the proximity of the person of crying, that's who's getting hit.
You did it.
So. Yeah. Yeah, it was so I would always be around the kid who was crying. I didn't do shit. I'd be confused. It's like, everybody's, why is he crying? And then I get caught up and then get the ass whooping. Then I go home and she, like, so what they did, Miss Mary would debrief the parent every time they came and pick up the kid. So now she's just like, yeah, this happened. Da, da, da. He wouldn't go to sleep during that time. Oh, and I had to spank him. Now my mom's looking at me and I'm like, I don't even know why that kid was crying. I just got an ass beating for nothing. And then I get fussed at the whole time. And of course, you know, nobody believes you when you're a kid. You're trying to say, like,
right,
I didn't do it. So, yeah, I think that's probably where I learned to, like, just withhold the truth, I guess. I don't really know. I don't know where all that came from. But, yeah, it was a whole bunch of that. So, yeah, she was about other people who was in charge of me whooping my ass. But I was kind of like, hey, I know she was excited when we first started this arrangement, but don't try it. Don't try it.
Oh, yeah, man. I definitely remember the community ass whoopings. And my mother was a teacher, so it was kind of interesting hearing the story about the don't tell my child to shut up thing. Yeah, because I know I got my ass whooped in school probably up until high school. And it was when I got to high school and like kids like talk back to teachers, like it didn't make sense to me. I was waiting for like lightning to strike them or something. Like you wasn't supposed to be able to do that. Like that was,
yeah,
I was just like forbidden territory. So I'm pretty sure my mother had run-ins with some kids. She might have called a kid a curse word or once or twice. I had to talk to a principal about it. But hopefully that's as far as it went. She hadn't told me everything, but one day. I definitely respect your moms for coming on there and being like mother of words. That was dope. My mother went with Flandog, her choice, not mine. And I don't know if I ever lived that one down. She'll forever be Flandog. So shouts to Flandog. I love you, Ma.
This was up. And I appreciate that, too. I recommend that all podcasters interview their parents if they have the time to or they have the ability to. I think those are really dope. Don't do it on the cliche days. Don't bring your dad on fucking Father's Day. Don't bring your mom on Mother's Day. Like, talk to them. Like, just talk to them about random shit going on in the world.
That's definitely what's up. All right, so then, so that was your show that your mother was on. And you also have your show, is Grow Bros, right? Grow Bros Pod?
Yeah, Grow Bros Podcast, yeah, with Baby Huey. Shout out to him.
Yeah, shout out to Baby Huey. You guys had the other show together that you allowed me to do a guest spot on and talk about my addiction. The first time I thought I was going to get out of this. I've learned a lot since then, but I appreciate y'all letting me get on there and tell my story then. It's only evolved, but I'm growing, bro. Grow Bros Pod. Yeah, I listened to the episode today also about the entrepreneurship, and man, it was a tough listen emotionally because I had to go back to that time and definitely like letting you down or knowing I was like not fulfilling my obligations as a podcaster on the network was something that like weighed on me. It didn't just happen and I was like, ah, fuck it, you know, I ain't feeling good, you know, fuck what's going on with Jay. Like, it's like, damn, like, I know, like, I signed on to be a part of something and then I'm like, I'm not participating. But yeah, man, so I definitely want to, you know, apologize. I just want you to know that it wasn't like, I was not oblivious to the fact that I was letting somebody down. You know, that I wasn't participating the way I had agreed to. And I definitely apologize for that.
Well, yeah. Well, I accept and I receive the apology. It is also really not needed, man. Here's why. When I first set out to start this network, I genuinely just wanted to make content with people I consider to be friends. But I know and I understand life happens. You and I have had enough conversations to where we've talked about addiction. We've talked about family life. We've talked about enough things to where it would be weird for me to be like, damn, he didn't put on an episode this week. Like, life is bigger than podcasts. And while we both love it and we both really care about it, I could never be in a space to be like, you know, yo, where's the episode at? I'm not one of those people, and I never wanted to be one of those people. I want everything that we do as far as pod dealers to be very organic. If the energy ain't lining up, and this is the thing I had to learn too. I'm a workaholic, so I love working. I love creating things. I love doing all of that stuff in a way to where it comes out and it's there to be dependable. But I also want it to be right. And shout out to There Go BJ, Change the Subject. So he had hit me up and it made me think about this after I said that. Like, he was like, yo, man, I look at your episode numbers and your episode numbers are so high, man. I can't wait to get like that. And I was like, man, there's some bullshit episodes in there. it's a bullshit. Yeah, the numbers high, but it's some bullshit episodes in there. But I was like, I'm just here because I'm supposed to be here.
Yeah.
I really do appreciate everybody who takes their time to put out content. Everybody's going to take a break. We went from everybody putting out a show every week to over the summer, nothing happened where people were taking breaks. People were traveling. They wasn't putting episodes out. So as much as I know you and I came in and consistency was a big selling point for a lot of creatives, that's not necessarily the case anymore. I think people would prefer a good episode than a rather just thrown together episode, right?
Yeah.
And if the people follow you and the people like you, they'll stick around. They'll check on you too. Like, I think those are the things that I had to really learn. And and I'm really grateful for you being on the network and fighting through everything you had to. I think all the episodes that you did when you came on my show, and whenever we talk, whether it's you know, on the mic or not, I think you're in this space of where you're like, you've always wanted to create, but like I said, life happens, things happen, and this podcast, while it is important to you, it still does not come first. I care about y'all's mental health. I care about y'all as people. You're not just some revenue driver where I'm like, hey, man, we're not going to hit our numbers. No, it's fine.
Well, I appreciate that. But, you know, I definitely, one of the things I've learned in doing this is, like, that your dream, like, no matter how much somebody signs on with you, like, your dream is never going to be as important to them as it is to you. Like, if it's your thing, like, you're always going to love it, you know, just that much more than they do. And so I've kind of had to deal with that, you know, with certain partnerships and, you know, thinking somebody was just as into it as I was, and then realizing, like, this was my dream, not theirs. Like, they're into it, but they're not into it on the level I am. I mean, how have you learned to deal with that? With, you know, building relationships with so many people and trying to, you know, and having this vision and trying to keep people aligned in that vision, and then maybe sometimes realizing that y'all vision ain't the same.
I think it's a good partnership. I think the thing I've learned from also being a business owner is, like, communication is key in any relationship, right? So sometimes I'll sit down and I'll talk to people. I'll, you know, see what they want to do, where they're at. And they're just kind of like, you know what? I thought I really wanted to podcast all the time, or I thought I wanted to do a YouTube video or a series of some sort, but that's not what I want to do. I think also, as we grow, I'm trying to figure out who is in it to be trendy and who is in it for the long haul. We get emails every day in the inbox about people who want to start a podcast because they want to make money. And I'm not against them for making money. It's just that when they don't see the dollar amount that they want to hit fast, they quit.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times what we were doing in the beginning were finding established podcasts and then helping them kind of grow in the digital space and create a digital footprint, which has been worked out, right? We got a pretty solid team. The thing about it is when you realize that when I'm more hype about the thing, is when I see them doing content elsewhere, whether it be doing guest spots, you know, asking, getting really good engagement on Instagram or being all over Twitter, and then weeks have gone by. I'm normally like, I'll wait 2 weeks and see what happens. Like, if you go 2 weeks without putting out an episode, then I'll normally come, like, week three, I'm normally, like, in your inbox, like, hey, what's going on? You everything good? But that's just a me person. Like, I'll check in just to be like, hey, what's going on? You need somewhere to do whatever. We'll have that conversation and see how that works. Sometimes they answer, sometimes they don't. The thing is, everybody that I know does multiple things. And so that's where it's hard to kind of manage creatives in that way. Like, I tell people, like, a lot of y'all can manage people. People are fine, right? And you emotional to some point. You manage creatives is completely different.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of things. It's the mood got to be right. The star and the moon's got to be whatever. The tide got to be low. It's a bunch of different things that come into play when you manage creatives. And so this has been really fun, but it's also been like trying, and like, you have to kind of get your point across with the correct words. And I appreciate that.
Yeah, but shouts to you for holding it together, because, I mean, I am noticing, like, in this creative space, you have a lot of people that are dealing with, like, it's almost like it's impossible to be creative and not have issues at the same time. You got to think differently, I guess, to be creative to a certain extent, and some of that thinking differently can put you in some dark places sometimes. Maybe you see things or things affect you a little differently than they affect everybody else, and you found a way to, like, I know you deal with shit, but you still find a way to get things done and I guess, you know, hold down the fort. So that, I mean, that's definitely an example to me of, you know, of not pushing through it, like ignoring it, but, you know, not letting, you know, pain or whatever's going on stop you from pursuing the thing that makes you the happiest, and it might be your way out of that pain at some point, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So let's get to something a little lighter. I noticed with the artist that you gave me, I'm going to assume that some of these people are new or newer music, newish music, because I have no idea who the majority of them were.
Okay.
One of the things I'm questioning right now, because I know you came from the Ninja Turtle generation, so I think we have a similar music foundation, or at least in the hip-hop space, maybe. Are we witnessing the end of the third verse? I'm noticing that songs no longer include a third verse. I think we definitely have left, like, the 16-bar verse, 8-bar hook era, but now it seems like we're not even getting three verses anymore. Is that something that you've noticed, or what are your feelings on the possible end of the third verse era?
Yeah, man, I think you might be right. I think third verses they're rare. I think I really started paying attention to it when R.I.P., but Mac Miller, man. I remember listening to Kid's mixtape. I think it's Good Evening. And in the song, while it's on the, like, in the middle of the hook, he goes, "Yeah, man, fuck it. I haven't done a third verse in a while. I guess I'll do one." And I was like, wait, you should always do a third verse. There should always be one.
All right, so I'm not the only one that feels like that was in the set. Like, songs feel short to me all of a sudden now. Like, I just was getting into it, and where's the last verse?
You know what? You know what's crazy? I really think movies have been influencing what's happening in the future. So let me say, you know, I always reference a lot of movies. So if y'all remember Demolition Man, you know, in the future, they didn't listen to music. They only listened to jingles, which was like 30 to 45 seconds. Now I'm starting to see a lot of songs get like that, man. It's these songs, it's like a minute and 10 seconds. Some of them under 2 minutes. And it's just like, yo, this is the hottest song. If you think about it, Old Town Road ain't long. That's not a long song.
Oh, I have no idea.
My fault. Yes. So yeah. For those of you who have heard Old Town Road, it is not a long song. So it is. But yeah, it is one of those things where you like, damn, man, it's a lot of songs. Even on albums, man, they're like, some of the best songs on the album are still only like a minute and a half, 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Summer Walker, everybody cracks a joke that she puts out a bunch of songs that are 2 minutes. But yeah, like, everybody loves these songs. They run these songs on repeat. They put them on these Spotify playlists, and they get millions and millions of streams because you only listen to a minute and 30 seconds or something.
Yeah, I noticed today when I was like, because I was going through, I pulled everybody up on Tidal, and I'm like going through, you know, real quick, you know, going through their discography, trying to find what I felt was like the banger for the, you know, the rock out session. And I guess this microwave popcorn thing is getting to me too, because I give songs like a good 5 seconds. Like, the beat, I'm tired of these long intros. The beat, drop the beat. I need to hear the bass line. I need to know if I'm going to rock out to this immediately or I'm skipping it. And I was just like going to songs, and it'd be, you know, that intro of them talking or something. I'd be like, get to the verse. Nah, too late. You know, skip. So I guess I'm getting affected by it too. I still want third verses. I just want you to get to the first verse a little bit faster. Like, pull me in immediately and then give me a full song, not a jingle. I think I might have to I might have to make some merch out of that. Like, fuck jingles, or I want a whole song, not a jingle.
Yeah, like, or just make RIP the third verse.
There you go. See, that's why you the boss, man. That's why they pay you the big bucks.
I'm trying, man. I'm here. Yeah. Side note, for people who are making merch, there are fat people in the world. We exist. Please make 3X, 4X, 5X shirts. You don't got to make a whole bunch. Just put them on one of these like sites. You don't have to make shirts out of your own budget. Just put them on the website. Damn, like, I be wanting to rock some of y'all's merch, and I can't fit it. You make a really nice undershirt. Like, I can't do shit with that on the outside of my body. So
you heard it here. If you want to sell a few more shirts, you're gonna need to get the sizes up.
Yeah, so to a bigger demographic of people, especially for y'all people who live in Texas. I know it ain't a whole skinny motherfuckers, man. You know what, I'm not about to rant on your show, please make sure.
Let me defend some of my size choices. Man, this is not sounding good. Right, but I'm not going to do that. I learned from, and thank you for pointing out to me that the whole pause thing was offensive. And I will say, I bucked it. Like, I don't care who's offended. Like, I'm just having fun, whatever. And I'll throw this in here real quick. I'll tell you what changed me, like, what really, something that happened to me recently that really, like, changed my whole thought process about a lot of that is when I was in rehab, I was in there with a dude. And let me start off by saying this dude will fuck you up. Like, don't, like, nothing about his, you know, sexual orientation had anything to do with the fact that he would whoop your monkey ass at the drop of a hat. But, like, somewhere along the line in his path to recovery, he got religious, and his religion told him that his lifestyle was wrong. And so by the time I met him in a phase where he was fighting the person who he was. Like, he'd be doing something, and he'd be talking a certain way, and then, like, catch himself and then try to correct it. And, like, it hurt me so much to watch him not be able to be himself or be fighting, like, you know, being himself. Like, to me, like, who you are is wrong. Like, you, every day you walking around, like, what I think I should do right now, I'm not supposed to do. I got to consciously make a different decision, like, all about the way I walk. Like, that, it hurt. Like, I hurt for him so much the whole time I was there. And so, like, I can see now, like, if there are things that I say that are offensive and that, like, are making a person feel bad about who they are or whatever, like, I apologize. Like, I'm not trying to do that. I don't ever want to put a person in a position to feel that kind of pain I kind of saw him in. So I appreciate you pointing out that to me. It took me some time to get the message, but I'm growing up. I am growing up. I'm getting better.
Trying. No, that's cool, man. Like, and growth is dope. But I only brought it up because somebody brought it up to me, and I felt like, I think also, like, we live in this age where people from the marginalized group try to correct people who are not necessarily in that group. So, you know, whether it be stop saying pause or stop using words that they feel, you know, or not even that they feel, that they know are slurs. And then the normal thing is, if you're not in that group, is to be like, fuck that and punch down. So you just like, nope, I'm going to say it anyway because you told me not to.
Exactly.
And a lot of times, too, I never really was on that pause stuff. I don't know. If we're going to give credit to New York, I think they are the ones who did that, but I refuse to take lessons from those dudes, because those was the same dudes running around the street calling each other daddy. So,
beloved.
Yeah, but I, yeah, y'all calling joint each other, what's up, daddy? Hey, daddy. I see you killing them in the street, daddy. Like, yeah, y'all out here talking like prostitutes, and now you want me to say pause? Come on, fam. I'm not doing that. Yeah. And so, only reason why, when I heard other people do that, I just kind of be like, hey, you're about to do a podcast with me and an openly gay man, probably don't do pause. So yeah, no, I feel that.
Nah, yeah, but I don't do anything with the intention to offend. Sometimes I do things, and if they offend you, I don't care. But I feel like at that point, if I continue to do it, there was some intention behind it, and I need to think deeply about that. All right.
I respect that.
All right, so I don't want to say on that note, but I guess let's talk about a few current events. I want to get your opinion on a few current events, because I've talked about this on my last couple of episodes of the podcast. It's kind of died down. I don't want to bring it up, but I do want to get your perspective on it.
Okay.
Antonio Brown, right?
All right.
So I don't know how much of it you follow. He had the incident in Oakland, you know, with the GM, with a white GM. All the reports that I got were that he basically told the GM he was going to punch him in the face, and he called him a cracker.
Yeah.
Right? And this happened, like, at practice in front of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
He gets released. He gets signed by the Patriots, which, I mean, no diss. Yeah, diss to the – it is a diss to the Raiders, but that's an upgrade.
Like, absolutely.
He was potentially in ring position. And then he got accused of sexual assault, and then the Patriots organization decided to cut ties. Now, in my mind, and this is not anything against the sexual assault victim, but to be punished for an accusation when you got basically an upgrade for something that you actually did, which was use a racial slur against, for lack of a better word, your employer. Like, to me, that was a dangerous precedent, because if he can go to work and call his boss a cracker, then when his boss calls him a nigger, like, what can you say? So I've been, like, pushing that argument for a while. Like, we don't really need to be backing this dude that much or acting like this behavior is okay, because when it gets flipped on us, we ain't really going to have a leg to stand on. What would be your thoughts on that?
Okay. I mean, it's multi-layered. All right, so let's walk through it piece by piece. So 1AB stands for absolutely bipolar.
Facts.
And that is no shots to anybody that is bipolar, but by the time you hear this, you'll switch your mind. Anyway, so let me see. The thing about AB doing that, right? So I got to get in my, like, kind of woke bag. When you say cracker to a white man who is kind of in charge of the organization, you're not using a slur in a way that comes from a position of power, right?
Yeah.
So he came out there, like you said, if it was the other way around and Mike Mayock came out there and was like, hey, nigga, run your routes, that probably don't feel right.
Yeah.
It don't feel good, right? Because you are a person who picks and chooses who is here, and you come from a position, like a legit position of power on this team, using a slur against that. I think when people say cracker, like, now, like, it's the same thing, like the argument of that saying cracker versus nigga is the kind of the thing that they do for CNN, like, which one is worse? Well, one of these you got to bleep out, and the other one we can say anytime. So we can say cracker and it's fine. And I'm willing to debate that with people, man. I think a lot of times that's the black on black crime argument too. So it's a lot of stuff that I think people, they feel a way, and I think they're good talking points, but I can't necessarily rock with them in that way. So the other thing is too, with the Patriots, that's a business decision. And I think the only reason why they really did decide to be like, I'm gonna let this go, is because of the Aaron Hernandez thing. So they rolled with Aaron Hernandez until they really found out he was out here killing folk.
Yeah.
Then they was like, oh shit, we should have probably let him go a while ago. So now that you have this thing again, like, yo, Antonio's got a whole bunch of shit going on. He's out here raping folks or sexually assaulting people. Yeah, let's just go ahead and let him go, cut ties. We're not going to lose none. We used them in the game where we won, and it was fine. They get to take some of the money back and all this other stuff, too. So everything's kind of, like, fine. In situations like this is where I know the NFL is glad they don't have guaranteed contracts.
Yeah, definitely.
So
he's trying to get that money, though. He's trying to get some of it back.
Yeah, for sure. Like, he definitely wants some of it, but it's just one of those things where, like, Antonio now is, I don't know, he's just a person who's all over the place. And by the time we figure out what it is to be said or type of precedent this is, it'll be weird. Because I think the NFL's also had this weird thing of the way they treat these cases, right? Sexual assault, domestic abuse, all that other stuff. So there isn't each one of there's going to be a case like this every year. We're going to figure out more. But I think in his particular case, it's weird. It's just weird because it's like you're watching somebody unravel at the same time. I think, and the other thing is too, is if when you start getting into it, I talked about this a while back, for those of you out there, check on the Off the Clock podcast with Triple D, shout out to him. But he had this episode called Waiting for the Draw 4. And so essentially, like, people wait for you to kind of come up and then drop you with a lawsuit, bring up old tweets, all kinds of other stuff, and then being like, hey, by the way, this happened 10 years ago. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I guess that's where I was. The accusation didn't bother me as much because it was an accusation. We weren't at the he did it stage. I don't subscribe to, you know, the whole cancel culture where as soon as somebody says you might have done something, we got to punish you, like, right away. And then it doesn't make sense to me in this case where we want to punish you right away for something you might have done, but we're going to just pretend like you didn't do the thing we know you did in front of everybody, you know?
Right.
And then I get into the argument with people a lot. Like, I guess I've never subscribed to that idea that racism requires power. Like, if you don't have the power to do something to somebody, then you can be as offensive racially as you want, because it's not the same as somebody who has the power showing you that they don't give a shit about you because of your race or something. Like, you know?
Okay, no, I understand that, and I respect that.
It makes me think, like, all right, well, what would happen if we did have? We exhibiting the same characteristics of what would happen if we were in power. Wouldn't we do the dumb shit we talk? Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to go down that rabbit hole too much.
but I respect that. I mean, yeah, I think the thing is, like, I've definitely heard people say that, like, black people can be racist as well. But it's always kind of like the why can't I do it argument. Like, and I mean, I understand where you're coming from. Like, you said you are exhibiting the behaviors of a person who has done that to you. So you are exhibiting behaviors of the oppressor. But I think that always kind of comes in that, because that's what kind of society is systemically is set up, where somebody has to be in power. There isn't a position to where they aren't in power. And but I absolutely understand where you're coming from.
Well, I appreciate you understanding. Hold on, vape voice again. I understand what you're coming from as well. Also in black culture right now, people are, they big mad about this whole, the Botham, is it Botham John, the dude that...
Botham John.
Yeah.
Amber Geiger situation, yes.
Yeah, and so that's up the street from me, that's in Dallas, well, you know, it's like a 4-hour drive, but, you know, that's in Dallas. She went in there, said she didn't know what apartment, she thought she was in her apartment, you know, shot the man pretty much in cold blood and got 10 years for it. And then people seem really upset that the brother, you know, pretty much forgave her on the stand, hugged her, the judge hugged her. I think I even saw a meme where, like, the bailiff was fixing her hair or something like that, and everybody seems to be, like, extremely mad that there isn't more, I guess, outrage from these people, or they're not mm-hmm. expressing enough hatred or enough, maybe hatred is the wrong word, enough anger, maybe. Yeah. I don't know, for me, it's, you know, if forgiveness is how you, sometimes forgiveness is a coping mechanism. Like, if forgiveness is how you're able to move on from, like, losing your brother, then, like, you gotta give that man that, like, and it's, I agree it's the right thing to do to forgive. I don't see why we should be mad at him for being, I don't know what the word I'm looking for is.
Yeah.
But, like, I mean, what's there to be angry about? I don't know. Where do you stand on that?
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of in shock. And I'll give you, like, a quick story of why, like, I kind of thought it. So I remember seeing a clip of her crying, right, and being like, well, this isn't going to work. It's just some white lady crying. I don't understand. It's not going to. And so a couple of days later, I was out playing basketball with some people, and it was like a little park, like right next, like a little like playground next to it. And there was this little white baby, a little white girl crying her eyes out, screaming and all kinds of shit. And I was like, yo, somebody get this fucking baby. Like, what is this? This kid is just standing over here crying. And then, like, I remember seeing, like, all these white parents coming over to this white baby and being like, yo, like, what's the problem? And she wanted a swing that the little black boy was on. And, like, she kept pointing to the swing, like, that's my swing. This one is a community park, so I'm like, this, nothing's gonna happen. But everybody kept looking at the black boy while he was swinging. And then I think he kind of, like, felt weird. So he eventually, like, stopped and got off the swing. And they put her up there and stop crying. And I was like, what the fuck did I just watch? Yeah. And so it made me think of that as the verdict, where it was like everybody was kind of like, white women can cry and it's just everything's gonna be all right, we're gonna make it easy. So it was weird like that. I think when the judge gave her a hug, that probably was weird to me. I never see situation is like that for any other murder case, or things like that happen. But I'm with you, man. Like, I don't really know how I'm supposed to react. I don't know how I'm supposed to feel, because it's not my situation. For if they have had a situation where they're just like, it's, you know, we forgive you, whatever. I saw people being like, no, we're supposed to be upset. Fuck these white people that said third. And then somebody else brought up a point like, but when Nipsey got killed, his mom and their family forgave the dude who killed Nipsey. And everybody was like, she's so powerful. Yeah. And she's so, you know, forward thinking. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I don't really know how that's supposed, like, I feel bad either way. There's a person that I love that's not coming back. So I don't know how close I'm or how soon I'm supposed to get to forgiveness, but it is really, it's really tough. And like I said, since that's not, it doesn't directly affect me, I can only go off of what they say that they do. So if they say they're in a good space and they're going to forgive her, then I got to roll with that.
Yeah.
But we do live in a hot take society and everybody has to have an opinion. And if you have enough followers, you can get them to group think the way that you think. So I don't know. I think that's why you see so many people who have a large amount of followers trying to do this, like, think piece, like, this is why we say in Christianity, make sure y'all niggas do this in slave plantation mentality. You niggas gotta be mad all the time. Like, nah, I don't want to do that. So I get it, though.
Yeah, nah, I don't want to. I've spent enough of my life being mad. I don't want to be mad about anything. I guess I am in that. And I fight that, like how much kumbaya is too much kumbaya. Like, at what point should I not, like, be like, ah, you know, whatever, life is, shit happens. Or, you know, like, at what point am I supposed to be outraged about certain things? But it just feels like we too quick, and we find, like, anything to be outraged about. And I think it bothers me because it dilutes the argument. Like, if you find outrage in everything, especially, like, a case like this where, like you said, you know, you got this situation happened and the murderer was a white lady and, you know, they're being forgiven and it's like, oh my God, what the fuck is you doing? Whereas in another situation, you know, the murderer is not of another race and the family's forgiving them and it's like, oh my God, that's so powerful. You know, it's just, I don't know. Yeah, like, you don't know what to do. You know, you can't please the masses. You can't make the right decision in any situation. So I just like to, like, just be cool with, like, just, yeah, you know, life happens, yeah. Things happen. In order for me to go forward, I can't go forward holding on to negative emotion. I think they explain it in rehab all the time. Like, you know, it's like drinking poison and hoping somebody else would die. Like, you being angry only hurts you. You're not, like, hurting them by being angry at them. You're only fucking up your day.
Mm-hmm.
So somehow viewing that as, like, more of a punishment, like, you know, not only should they go to jail, but we should be mad at them. They shouldn't get no hugs, no orange juice. Fuck that. Like, they should just, their life should be fucked up forever. Like, that to me just does something to you. But side note, if you ever wanted to make a horror movie starring me, just put me, like, in an empty building full of white babies. That's the most terrifying situation you could possibly ever put me in. Just surround me with, like, white babies and I'm alone and mm-hmm. one of them's crying and I'm just waiting for when I'm going to get blamed for it. Like, that shit is terrifying to me. I think I would have just left. If I was playing basketball and a white baby started crying, holler.
Yo,
y'all call me when she's gone.
No, the funny part was every black person stopped moving.
like, look at what I'm doing right now. I'm nowhere near the white baby.
Yeah, like, we was legit, like, checking the ball up, and then everybody, like, she started screaming, and everybody stopped moving, and was like, what the fuck? So, yeah, for sure.
Terrified white baby. Terrified. All right, man, before I let you go, I do want to get an update on your ongoing battle with Red Velvet Cake. Have we made any progress in, you know, you and Red Velvet coming to terms? Being cool, maybe you accepting it as a flavor, or are we still?
It'll always be trash. It will always not be good.
What happened to you, man? What happened? You know, help me with it.
Here's the thing. I know. First things first. Anthony Bourdain loved his job. Second thing is Red Velvet Cake holds a special place in people's hearts. And that's the thing that you love about Red Velvet Cake. You love that your grandma made it. You love that your mama made it, your auntie. Maybe they here with us and maybe they ain't here with us. That's the thing that you love. Because that shit is actually trash. Don't taste good. I went to a restaurant that said, we make the best Red Velvet Cake. And I said, okay, I'm going to try it because I hate it from everywhere else. And I had it. And they put 42 cubic tons of, what was it, cream cheese frosting on it. And I was like, this shit isn't that good. And get out of here with all that damn frosting. We won awards for that. And I was like, actually, the person who gave you the award, I never heard of them neither. That's why I don't like it. And people are like, it's just chocolate with red with some dye in it. I was like, no, I've had chocolate cake. It's delicious. Whatever they doing in the process to make it Red Velvet is not good. I'm glad. It's always tasting chalky. It's always weird. And people don't want to admit that. It's always somebody in their family who made it. My grandma, she came over from the old country and made it. Hey, man, give a shit. It's just nasty. Give a shit. What kind of boat your grandma came over here on? That shit's just not good, man. And that's the thing. Like, I'm not allowed to have that opinion, right? Like, people get mad at me about saying it. Like, I say all kind of shit. Like, y'all only like big dudes online. Like, that's my new shit now. Like, y'all only like big dudes online. Because I don't be seeing a lot of big dudes out here in the street getting chosen. I could be wrong. I could be wrong. But between that and Red Velvet Cake, y'all just be out here saying anything.
Well, I'm glad you said it. I had arguments with people that, like, it's not, what is it? It's just, like you said, chocolate cake with food coloring or something. I didn't understand this whole, but apparently to some people it's a actual flavor. Like, they have a dope chicken and waffle spot down here, mm-hmm. and you can get Red Velvet waffles. And I'm like, why? I don't, you know, not that I have anything against it. I don't hate Red Velvet or believe it's trash. I haven't even had enough of it. Because I don't understand why you just wouldn't give me chocolate, whatever the thing is. Like, if you're going to give me a cupcake, I don't need the food coloring. Just give me a chocolate cupcake. You know, I didn't know that the food coloring somehow turns into chalk or whatever. And I probably will never know because I'm not that interested. But, yeah, I just think it's hilarious. That's why I have to ask you about it, like, every time. I know you're sick of it, but, like, every time I talk to you, I bring out Red Velvet Cake for some reason.
I appreciate it. I'm going to listen. There's a lot of things. If I could go filibuster for it in D.C., I would. I'd be like, listen, y'all got how much time y'all got? Let me tell you how much I hate this thing. And the other thing is, too, like you said, like, people treat it like it's a completely different flavor. Like, you can't do that for anything else, right? Like, you can't get, like, a Prius and paint it a different color and then be like, well, this is now a Ferrari. You'd be like, no, that's a Prius. Yeah. I'm cool with the Prius. Prius is fine. Stop calling this a Ferrari now that it's a different color.
And it's confusing, like, to me. Like, if it's red, it should be like strawberry or cherry or raspberry or something where red is associated with that flavor. Why is it red chocolate? These things bother me. I don't understand.
Yeah. So if you're out there and you want to debate Red Velvet or how much your family is tied to it, or even if you have the best Red Velvet Cake and you want me to come try to change my mind, I'm open to that. You know where to find me at. Look on the internet, hashtag WordsPod. You can come find me. And we can talk about it. Matter of fact, ladies, if you're out there and you dope, take me on a date. Take me on a date to go get some Red Velvet Cake. We can go try some Red Velvet Cake. And if you don't like it, you got to pay for everything because I'm going to leave.
So you could prove them wrong twice that big dudes don't only get love online and that Red Velvet Cake is dope. You could prove them wrong twice in one fell swoop.
Two birds, one stone. And if I don't enjoy your company and the Red Velvet Cake is trash, I'm leaving. So that's yay. Progress.
I swear to God, I do actually be places and, like, people start talking about Red Velvet or they got Red Velvet waffles on the menu. I'm like, damn, I wish Jay was here. I can get an opinion on these motherfucking Red Velvet waffles. I ain't gonna eat them, but I need somebody to tell me what.
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. So, just fill everybody in on everything you can, because you got a million and two things going. I know of at least three shows. I think I'm going to make it on season three of the Saturday series. Am I?
Absolutely.
All right. Saturday
series.
Yeah, I'll be ready
around
for
the holiday
one.
Season, so I'm excited. So I am the creative director of the Pod Dealer Network. You can find all the stuff that all these dope creatives are doing at Pod Dealers. So you can go to Pod Dealers on Instagram, Pod Dealers on Twitter. You can go to poddealers.net and look at all the shows that are up there. You can sign up for the newsletter. Please sign up for the newsletter. You get free merch. You can get events. We hold classes. We're teaching people how to podcast. We're teaching people how to do marketing. We're teaching people how to do SEO, all kinds of dope stuff out here to increase your success in your podcast. You can also check out the Saturday series at Sat Series Pod, and that's everywhere, Instagram, Twitter, everywhere. You want to talk about your weekends as a kid, you want to talk about your childhood, you want to talk about your family, all that other dope stuff. We are taking submissions for that for season three and season four, and I'm super excited about that. And the original, if you just like plain chips, you can get you some Just Say Words. Just Say Words Pod is everywhere. You can email the show at Just Say Words Pod. You can listen to the show. Just look up Just Say Words, and I should pop up. It'll be a dude wearing some dope clothes and a backpack. We're jumping out. That'll be me. And that's it. So support all these people. Support your local pod dealer. Subscribe, rate, and review to all these dope creatives. I really would appreciate it.
We would all appreciate it. I'm telling you, folks, it's hoodie season. I got a Pod Dealer's hoodie. It's like my favorite hoodie of all time. You should go get yourself one. Super dope. And if you follow What Is TWS anywhere, you will see all of Jay's work. Like I said, I respect this man. I appreciate him. He definitely, I've stolen so much stuff from his shows over the course of the 3 years of What Is TWS. I'm about to do the shout outs in the shower. That may be too much information, but
that's fair. I love it. That's what we intended it to be.
But yeah, man, I appreciate you, you know, hanging out with me. Let me try this interview thing out. I had way more questions, but I'm not good at this.
That's okay. We'll come back. We'll do a part two.
We'll do a part two. Right, that's what's up. That's what's up. All right, folks. So as always, be safe and be the light. Got a lot more content coming. Just, you know, stay tuned to What Is TWS, Pod Dealers Network, Just Say Words, Saturday Series, Grow Bros Pod. You know, it's a lot of them.
Yeah.
But they all dope. Pay attention to them. All right, so for now, I'm going to go ahead and rock out. Jay, hopefully you rock out with me. Again, I'm sticking to this 30 seconds thing because I don't want YouTube or none of these people on my ass any more than they already are. But love y'all, and thanks for the support. Holla.
Philly, what's up? Yeah. I remember it was no lights. Damn. Matches on the floor, thousand roaches for a mic. Whoa. Yeah, I remember it was no lights.
Gank,
yeah.
Go, gank, go,
I remember it was no lights. Matches on the floor, thousand roaches for a mic.
Whoa.
Yeah,